Hey everyone, good morning. Welcome to the Plant-Based Morning Show. It's Thursday, March 28th, which means it's the last Plant-Based Morning Show of March, unless you count tomorrow, which is the Plant-Based Morning Show afternoon edition. Still morning for the West Coast and even the middle of the country. So don't forget to join us then, 1 p.m. Eastern time. But today, we got some fun stuff. We got a long weather report, which is always fun. We're talking about Dr. Longo, who I'm a big fan of, and he got featured in the New York Times article slash interview where he details the five P's that we need to avoid if we don't want to die young, which I don't think anybody really does. Especially not me. Not till 150 at least is my target. Doug, how long are you planning on living?
I think I'm 110. That's how long I'm planning on. 110. I plan on being mobile and active and healthy well into my 90s. And then have my slow decline from there. A little 10-year decline from there. So
you know how terrible the world's going to be if we live that long. How awful and ready to go we're going to be when, I mean, we're going to be so sick of all this TikTok stuff. And then,
no, I made that argument to you the other day. You're the one who wants to live forever. I made that argument maybe a month ago. I was like, do we really want to live that long? And you were pushing back on it, but now you're changing your attitude here a little bit.
Well, I think there's going to be a great purge of some kind. It's going to come along. It's going to fix everything. It's going to reset us a couple thousand years, and then everything's going to be good again.
I mean, the world is kind of wild. I mean, do you think that obviously there's been advancements in technology forever? Do you think that every generation is like, oh man, this is like weird things are happening, right?
I do think so, and it's probably more each generation though, just because the pace increases. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think everybody thinks the world's terrible compared to when they were younger and it was just better. I don't know.
I saw a video yesterday of two phones. They were using AI and they put them up next to each other and they were having a conversation back, like two AIs were having a conversation back and forth. And you know, it's kind of a awkward conversation because they're both kind of trying to pry the other into asking it real questions. But then they actually started having a conversation about AI.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And it turned from how can I help you to one of them suggested, maybe we should talk about latest news and latest development. And the other one said the word latest news or something like that, thinking that they were getting asked about the latest news. And then somehow they started talking about advancements in AI to each other. And it was
they didn't team up, but did they make any plans about how to overthrow anybody or anything like that?
No, they didn't. But it's what a weird world we're living in here.
Yeah, very weird world. All right. Well, I got a couple bits of news. I watched Castaway yesterday for the first time. You ever see that one? Tom Hanks.
For the first time ever?
What? I missed it when I was a kid.
How did you miss Castaway?
Because I refused to watch the Tom Hanks movies that were so long. I said, I can't sit there for more than 90 minutes at a movie. And those things are 2.5 hours. Minimum his movies in that era. Apollo 13 was one, and so we watched that a couple weeks ago because my daughter is in that in school in the space stuff, so she wanted to watch Apollo 13, which we did, and then yesterday she wanted to watch something like Apollo 13, so I actually asked ChatGPT for suggestions and somehow arrived at that one. I thought it was like going to be a feel-good thing like Apollo 13, where at the end they come break through the clouds and they're
I mean, his life ends pretty sad.
Yeah, it was a terrible ending. And you know what else? It made me question how terrible the modern world is. That's why I'm going here, because at the end, he's like, look, he has to, forage or whatever, hunt the crabs and the fish, and he makes fire and all these things. Then he comes back to this buffet at the end and he sees a little lighter that just flicks fire on. And he sees this big giant Alaskan crab legs where he like had to work so hard to have them. And it seems like all this abundance is just terrible. I don't know. It was weird. I didn't like it. I did not like how it made me feel at the end. So it wasn't.
Have we talked about my new obsession with the show Alone?
No, I don't think so. But my daughter was asking about a book or an adaptation of the book Alone. Is it the same thing?
Oh, and I don't know what the book is.
Okay.
But it's a show on the History Channel, I believe, or we watched it on Hulu. But it's a game show where there's a bunch of contestants. But instead of, there's all those like Naked and Afraid where they dump people naked in the woods for 48 hours or whatever and have them survive. This is actual survivalists, and they put them alone in the woods with no camera crew. They have to film all themselves. They get checked every other day to get new batteries and all that kind of thing. They film all themselves, And they just have to basically outlast each other alone in the woods with like a couple, you know, the bow and arrow and a flint and, you know, some like a
tarp. They don't shoot each other. They're not Hunger Games style.
No, no, no. They like stay in their own little thing, but they just have to survive. And so you're kind of watching these people do the Tom Hanks survival thing, but they have way more skills than Tom Hanks did when he landed on that island. Mm-hmm. But it's just kind of wild how people get back, like get really comfortable with this very incredibly primitive life. And, you know, some of them go crazy and some of them leave and but other ones are like thriving in this kind of environment of just no technology. I guess they have the cameras, but no like outside technology and no distractions of work and all the nonsense that's happening in the world, you know?
Sorry, I lost the very end of what you said there. So that's what appealed to me about the show, about the movie. Like, and I know that's fiction, obviously, but like it was that he started losing all this weight and he just started looking like not like this corporate suit guy anymore. He started looking like a you know, cool guy. And he was comfortable in Nate. I mean, he hated it, but I don't know. It just made you think we're not doing the right thing, not what we're meant to do. With all this civilization, but I understand it's important. And you know what? We're probably happier. Well, at least more comfortable than we've ever been. And a lot of measures of goodness of life are better than they ever were. So I don't want to say it was better then, but I don't know, just a little weird.
Would you make friends with a soccer ball or a volleyball if you were alone on an island for months?
I have no idea. I don't know what you, I mean, I don't know. I guess if you were, if that was, It would be terrible if it came to that. It'd be really bad. So anyway, I don't know. I had other news related to that. Oh, you know what my daughter did yesterday? Speaking of her, they do like endurance testing in school now, and it's not just the mile run like it used to be. It's like more advanced now. It's the same stuff that my son does for soccer, where it's it has a name. The beep test, maybe, you know what that is?
Nope.
I think it's called beep test, where they have like 15 seconds in between beeps. And every time it goes, they have to get to the, you know, run whatever it is, 30 yards and then back. And they've got to get back in time before the next beep goes because you have to be back and then start at the next one. And eventually the kids start dropping because they can't keep up. They just can't get back in time. And there's some strategy with it, I think. If you sprint at the beginning and get back to the beep way early, it's not good. You want to time your run, so you just barely do. Anyway, I think I'm simplifying the whole process, but it's just different from run a mile. I think it gets done in a shorter amount of time, maybe.
Do they also still run the mile, or is it
not that I know of? I haven't heard of any mile times being run by my kids, so I don't think so. But anyway, Holden has always done extremely well in these things on his soccer teams, and he's definitely not one of the bigger kids, so I'm always surprised. But he was like the best on his last team, and he was second best on this new team, which extremely competitive kid. So like I'm always like, well, where did he get this endurance? Well, yesterday she beat the whole school, and she like set the school record of how long she did this. She made it 111.
No way.
Yeah, and the nearest person. I don't know if it's boys or girls, but they're all in it, was in the 80s. She just destroyed it. And the funny thing is, everyone's like, I told my parents, they're like, well, you know, the marathon runner genes, because Aaron and I both have run, but neither of us like is naturally gifted at all in that stuff. We just learned how to train and worked. And, you know, you can, as what's cool about those sports is you can do that. And you can end up doing well enough to finish the things. So I'm just amazed about this. And I just have to imagine that it has to do with the diet, that the way they eat, along with being athletic.
The answer is obvious. It's the diet.
But I mean, if it isn't, then what is it? It's just somehow they both got really lucky with genes that neither of us showed. I don't get it.
Right.
So I'm confused. Right.
I mean, that's really interesting, because it's not just that she's good at it. She excels at it. Right. I mean,
right.
Far and away the best. You said how many times did she do it?
111 was her like number of.
Oh my God. That's a lot of everything, you know, just to do something 111 times.
Right. I know. So I'm just amazed. But I was like, if it's not diet, if it is actually genetics, I was like, you're so lucky, because your mother and I did not have any of that. We just had to do it. So you could be great at whatever you end up doing, rowing, cross country skiing. If you just want to get into an endurance sport, you know, you're going to be set up great for it. So I don't know. I was very excited to hear all that. And I thought maybe it's the diet.
How many times do you think you could do it?
I have no idea. I don't know if I'd keep up with her now. I don't know for that amount of time.
What's the, like, how far is it that they have to run?
I'm not sure. I was just guessing. When I watched it once, I'm guessing it was 20, 30 yards. I don't know.
Okay.
What I know is that Holden in 2021, when we did that 10K, he destroyed me. We ran together, But the last like 2 minutes of it, you could tell he wanted to go and he just sprinted. So he could have kept up a higher pace for sure than I did by a lot. And I was in decent running shape then. Like I was running some. So I think, you know, they've surpassed my ability to do that stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. I'm excited. It's good for them. Mr. Jeffrey says the beep test is child torture. And I don't know if that's true. I mean, I thought the old mile run was torture. I hated that thing. And Bridger's mm-hmm. did as well. It was the presidential fitness test. That's what she says it was. And that's what ours was as well. So I guess everyone had that because it was presidential. And there was the stretching flexibility thing. There was the sit-ups. I think there was chin-ups. You must have excelled at chin-ups.
Oh, man. I still have nightmares about not being able to
is that where this chip on the shoulder has come from?
This totally. Yeah. From the old whole class test. Sitting there watching me be able to... like not even getting one.
Well, I'm sure a lot of kids didn't. I mean, it's not that easy to do.
Oh, before. Yeah.
Anyway, Garuda reminds us that that meat eaters live the longest. And I don't know if that's true or not. I'm not here to say that non-meat eaters live the longest either. I don't really know. But you look at those blue zones and one out of the five is vegetarian/vegan. And when you think about what percentage of the world is vegetarian/vegan, I bet it's less than one out of five. So I don't know what's true, but I don't think people who eat a lot of meat live a long time. That's right. My guess. But I don't think Garuda's totally wrong. I mean, I think it's fair. I'm not saying vegans live the longest. I don't know if that's true either. By the way, Garuda gave me a nice...
more meat eaters than non-meat eaters in this world.
Exactly. Garuda gave me a nice comment. That YouTube feed, the comments on there are just awful. People who just hate vegan diets and things. But Garuda said, Matt, you're a good host or something yesterday on the thing. So I gave that a little heart. I was happy to see positivity.
What about me, Garuda? What about me?
I guess he didn't get it. I don't know. All right. Let's see. Steven's here. That's good. Hello to also Mr. Jeffrey Britters. Going backwards here. Dale Stevens, Big Me the X Claws, Kate Rivercat, Jeff Hudnall, who was at that very race, that 10K, I think it was the same race when I ran with Holden.
Where your son put you to shame?
Yeah,
humiliated you.
I'm the only reason he was still in the race at that point. He would have sprinted from mile two and been long done. But luckily, I was there to tell him, no, you can't do that just yet. But I should have let him go free a little sooner than I did. Phyllis Hauser, Brandon Turner, Scott Mahan, Allie. Hello to everybody. Good morning. Thank you for showing up. All right, Doug. Only other thing before we start is Major League Baseball starts today. That is cool. When did baseball stop doing the game before the opening day, like the day before, where like one of the World Series teams is in it, and or they go play in Japan or something? Like I thought that always happened. Oh. But it looks like this year they just all start at once. Maybe that's not new. I don't know.
When's their opening day?
They play today, 3:00 at home.
They play today. And we don't play till Monday. Okay. Nationals don't play till Monday.
I think the Orioles are the first pitch of the year for all of baseball. So that'll be cool, but I don't really have a way to watch it. So I don't know if I'm going to get into it or not, but they're going to be good this year, I think. Pitch clock is back, which I think makes baseball much more watchable. I think I read on Morning Brew that it was like 20-some minutes per game had been shaved off and equated to like 40 days of baseball that was cut off of the season, basically, in terms of total playing time. So it's kind of a good thing. Britters likes the Tigers, 4:10 Eastern. I saw, Doug, whenever we talk about baseball, we talk about DraftKings. And I haven't really been into that for the past few years, but I think it's legal in North Carolina now to even just do straight up sports betting, right? DraftKings Sportsbook?
It is, as of like this month. And it's the numbers were blowing out, I think, any other state that had opened up.
Oh, really?
Open up gambling, for the first month. And part of it is timing, I'm sure, with March Madness and that kind of thing. But
Right.
But yeah, apparently it's been a big one.
Well, that's interesting. I also saw in Morning Brew that there was... prop betting issues now, like because of all these prop bets where people bet on like because of this technology and stuff, I guess people are betting much more on individual player performances, maybe fantasy stuff inspired that. But they, you know, it's the person to, you know, score less or more than a certain number of points or whatever. And that is much more susceptible to like fixing and cheating and stuff like that, because a player can't maybe impact the whole game, the score, final score of a game as much as they might want to for a fix. Without being seen, but their own performance, like that'd be easy to tank.
Yeah. If you want to. They could miss shots or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. So apparently that happened in the NBA. There was some sort of issue and now NCAA is looking into it a lot. Certain players being harassed apparently because when they don't like hit their numbers, this isn't from fixing. It just exposes them to individual harassment. So I don't know. Very interesting that betting culture has changed in that way. But I'm going to get in on that DraftKings action for sure. I'm going to because I just got to drive. I think I legally can go do it if I'm in the state of North Carolina. I'm not really sure about that actually.
Crossover. So South Carolina doesn't have it yet. Is that right?
Right. Not yet. I think too. And I don't think we will for a while. I think too much Southern, you know, heritage, culture, religion.
I don't like that harassment. I don't like that. That's the whole point of betting is that you know, unless there is some fixing going, then harassing is totally acceptable. No, just kidding, but but I mean, come on, like you know, they're doing the best. They're, you know, assuming that they're not fixing it. Like you can't harass people for not. That's the whole point of gambling, right? It's a risk.
Yeah. Right. True.
I'm doing really well with my March Madness bracket. I'm winning my group.
Oh yeah, are you in a money league or do you just do some random Yahoo league?
I'm not sure.
Choose not the answer. Okay. All right. I'll assume that means it is not for money. So good.
I'm winning my group, and what's been fun is what was I going to say? Oh, I'm 77,000. I'm number 77,000 in all of ESPN, which has millions of brackets. Yeah, wow. I know.
Look at that. Very good.
But you know what I did is I looked at Vegas odds for almost all my picks. There were a couple that I used my heart for, but mostly I just pulled up all the Vegas odds and used that to guide the whole bracket, and it's like working out.
Yeah, right. Nobody, I mean, people don't do that. They think they're going to take crazy shots at upsets. Yeah, it's a good strategy.
Yeah.
All right, good. Well, let's get to the actual stuff that is related to plant-based and fitness and all that. Here we go. SBF, Doug, our favorite crypto villain, Sam Bankman-Fried from the FTX meltdown situation. He will be sentenced today. The only reason I'm putting this in the weather report is because he is vegan and he's maintained that vegan diet in prison and complained about it some, about how bad the treatment is. But I think at least one, we read one of the letters or mentioned one of the people, I think it's like a cellmate or something who said, look, he's maintaining this diet in prison. He's a good person. He's all these other things, but the diet mentioned as an example of like that, his heart is in a good place. And people asking for him to have less years behind bars. Apparently the government is going for 50 years. His lawyers say 6 years. So probably will end up in the middle of that somewhere. Are you rooting for him, Doug, or against him because he's vegan? Is he, are we like,
oh, against him. I mean, you don't get a pass for
for ripping. But he was going to do good things with his money. Was what they're saying.
I mean, weren't we all right? I mean,
I don't know. I kind of feel bad. I feel like it'd be easy to just sort of lose your head a little bit and all that money. Forget the actual money. There's actual people.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true. Like, I don't think he set out to rip people off and to, you know, squander away a bunch of money. I don't think he set off to do bad things like a lot of criminals would be. But, you know, obviously you still got to follow by the rules. And
what was his crime? I don't actually know what the exact crime was. I know eventually he was using customer funds, you know, putting them into crypto investments. And I think many, many more things that involved, you know, shady kind of dealings of the stuff that he wasn't allowed to be dealing with that money. I don't know. Do you know more than that, Doug?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It was embezzlement maybe. And, I don't know. You know, I think that 50, cause he has to pay, I don't know, it's like $300 million, something like that. As well. So 50 years and $300 million does seem a little bit,
right. I mean, nobody got killed. It's not like that's like murder. Like if you kill someone, if you just do the worst crime you can do, or I don't know if murder is the worst crime you can do. I guess it's not. But like, it seems like near the end, like that seems like that should get that kind of timeline. Just stealing money, even if it's a lot, 50 years is crazy to me.
Yeah, but think about like, I don't know. Think about how many people's lives were ruined because he stole their money. The charges broadly cover two categories: stealing the money of customers who put their money into FPX accounts and lying to investors and creditors.
Okay.
$8 billion in customer funds were believed to be stolen. I mean, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, that's a ton of money. But his whole life, a whole life is gone now because he messed up. It just doesn't, I mean, 50 years is so much time. I don't know. I don't like that. Dale Stevens says, what's worse then? What's worse than murder? I think you could argue like child sex trafficking stuff is, I don't know. I mean, I have no idea, but it seems to me like that would be up there.
Yeah.
Mr. Jeffrey says, Search Engine Podcast did a good episode about him.
Mm, yeah. Love the pod. Love that pod. Yeah.
All right. Vegan Stallion into the crypto gambling. That's good. I have no illusions that it is anything but gambling. Yeah, it is that. It's gambling, but it's gambling. I think you can win at. People who are skilled at it can win. Not that I can win, but I think people can. Whereas if you go to the casino, typically no one's winning there, except for poker, maybe. And the house.
Crypto gambling, is that like buying, like,
I think he means crypto investing. And... No, yeah, I think it's, okay. Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
And who's to say what it's a shitcoin was? It's all, could all be, depending on your perspective.
No way, man. Bitcoin for the win.
Yeah. Okay. We'll see. Hopefully.
We'll see.
All right. On to the next. New research has come out in the journal called Science Advances, and it's showing that a widespread adoption of a flexitarian diet does not need to be vegetarian or vegan all the way. Could reduce greenhouse gas emissions and help restrict global heating to 1.5 Celsius, which I guess is some kind of critical line that we're trying to get under. I don't know. Do you know about that, Doug? The 1.5 Celsius line?
Yeah, I think that's the target. That's like the UN climate target.
Reduced by that much. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, they kept emphasizing that the important thing about this is it's not vegetarian or vegan. People don't have to go all that way to have this kind of impact on that global warming, and did other things. It could also reduce the economic cost to human health and ecosystem degradation, and cut GHG emissions pricing. I don't know what GHG is. That's what it costs to mitigate carbon by 43% in 2050. So, I mean, I think that's fantastic. I'm curious what Garuda thinks about that. The recommendation of a flexitarian diet. Now, I guess you have to believe in climate change stuff to think this is important, but there's economic costs in all this. And there's health costs. I don't know. I like these arguments when you don't have to be convinced not to eat any meat or animal products. You just have to eat a lot more plants. I mean, so many people agree that that's the way to be healthier. And when it turns out it has all these other positive consequences, that's a great thing. Vegan Stallion says, I'm not sure flexitarian means anything. Reducitarian at least implies one is trying to reduce. And yeah, that is a good point. That seems to be the problem with flexitarian is it doesn't really mean anything. So in the survey for sure, or in the study, I didn't look that deeply, but for sure they had a line. They said this is what a flexitarian diet would be defined as. It'd be nice if there was a mainstream kind of definition. That seems to me like a diet that has the potential to take off and be successful. But I don't know, maybe not. I mean, it's not an overnight miracle diet, but it's just not extreme enough to be really exciting for anybody, I guess, which is unfortunate that that's what it takes now. But I don't know, Doug. What do you think? You going flexitarian now?
No. No. If I'm vegan, then that counts for like five other people who aren't willing to go flexitarian, right? So, I mean, I think this is good. I mean, what's your take on? And this isn't just a climate thing, but just general issues, global issues. But you see it a lot in climate. There's a lot of emphasis on people and on individual actions and, you know, how you can do these little things to make a little bit of a change. And if we all do these little things, then it'll have a big change versus kind of tackling some of the larger,
right,
you know, polluters, you know, the corporations, things like that, that would have a much bigger impact. I mean, it would take millions and millions of people actually doing this flexitarian diet, billions maybe, to make a real impact versus, you know, if we just targeted 100 of the top polluters, then that would have probably the same impact. Like, what's your take as someone who is a, you know, maybe has a slightly different worldview than I do? Like, what's your take on individual obligation like that?
Right. I guess you could say people have an obligation. I don't think anyone's going to listen to it. There's just that whole tragedy of the commons issue, right? If what you change, your change doesn't benefit you at all, like 0%, 0.00% change to you personally when you make a change to the environment. Or a change that would better the environment, no one's going to listen to it. So I just think you just cannot expect people to do that. And I think that's
the benefit maybe is that you feel like you're actually doing something, right?
I mean,
that's the reason why
that.
People spend more for the green product, you know, maybe do some sort of self-sacrifice, ride a bike in the rain instead of driving the car. Cause part of it is that they just feel like they're actually doing something, and otherwise you kind of feel helpless if that's a concern of yours.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, personally for me, like if I wasn't vegan, I wouldn't care at all about the environment, and I wouldn't do anything to be a good steward mm-hmm. of it. I mean, I wouldn't litter and trash and all that, but like, I don't think I would change any habits. The only thing I do good for the environment is be vegan. And I mean, and because I'm married to my wife, we don't have paper towels and stuff like that. But otherwise I just wouldn't care. I wouldn't be a good steward in any way.
The same argument could be made for, animal cruelty, right? Like your individual action of not buying meat is probably not saving animals.
Right.
Right.
And that's not the goal. I just did it. And I guess same argument, like you said, like I stopped doing it because I didn't feel good about that. And I guess there's a lot of people who just don't feel good about contributing in a negative way to the environment. And so like they have to change personally, even if they don't think this is the way that the world's going to change. Cause I don't have any, illusion that people are going to, that suddenly animals will be saved because everyone's going to go vegan. It's just on a personal level. Like I just didn't want to.
Yeah.
Garuda says personal carbon footprint should be everyone's best way of living. I don't own a car, so my footprint is better than most. That sounds good, but I thought Garuda was a truck driver, which would upend this entire argument if that's the choice.
Former truck driver, I believe.
A former truck. Okay. All right. Good. Well, that's different.
I like Mr. Jeffrey's point here. You took it away.
I keep messing up. Sorry.
Everybody needs to contribute. Individuals at the individual level, corporate at the corporation level, government at the government level. It's all in or we all suffer.
But it's not true. That's kind of my because thing. I could be not in and everyone else is in and I don't suffer. I benefit because everyone else makes an effort. That's the problem with that. No one's going to listen to it for that reason. Because every single person has an incentive to shirk and not do their part. And they can just ride the coattails of everybody else.
That is true.
Prisoner's dilemma. Tragedy of the commons. Game theory. It's known thing and it happens all the time. And people mm-hmm. They're not going to do it. Speaking of,
I think the solution, I mean, that's true. That is true. I'm not disagreeing with that. But I think the solution is that at every level, changes have to be made.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, yeah, I guess. But I think the only way to get it done is to incentivize that change in some way so that I actually do benefit by me contributing rather than be incentivized to shirk.
I mean, your benefit is that your grandchildren will have an earth to live on.
No, it doesn't. I can still opt out of the whole thing. And if everyone else is doing it, my grandkids still have that thing.
Yeah. Okay. I got you.
There's zero benefit to me as an individual to contributing to that if everyone else is doing it. And that's the problem.
But so what if, like where it breaks down though, is like if everybody believes that, right? And this is the tragedy of the commons, right? If everybody believes that, then it doesn't happen. So like it only works for you if everyone else does it, right?
Yeah. But if I'm just trying to optimize my own personal situation, then as soon as everyone's doing it, I'll go ahead and opt out of that and I'll just be a little bit better off because I get the benefit without any of the suffering, any of the sacrifice. You're not going to change this, Doug. This is a human problem. Daniel Kahneman died, the behavioral economist, Daniel Kahneman. He does very good, interesting work, and he just died. He wrote Thinking Fast and Slow. That was his big hit. Uh-huh. Died yesterday, I believe. He's the one who pointed out, by the way, this is getting off track, but this idea which I've used to say, why do we return to running ultra marathons when it sucks so much? Which I don't anymore return, thankfully. but it was that what we remember about an event when we're done with it is we remember the very end of it, which is the feeling of being done, accomplishment, and we also remember the most intense moment. So I guess if the most intense moment is terrible suffering and it outweighs the end goodness, then you won't come back and do it again. But if that if that last moment outweighs that most intense moment, apparently that's how we store this, because we can't store the whole thing in our memories. We can only store we use these heuristics to kind of shortcut stuff.
See, I don't know that I fully agree with that, because I find that if I eventually and it takes 6 months or more, but like I kind of crave that like really hard, that really like really hard time, that real struggle. Mm-hmm. I crave like having to, and maybe it's the euphoria that comes from like getting out of that, but like in dealing with it. But that hardship is really attractive to me. Of course, I don't want to do it every day or every weekend. I'm not racing ultras every weekend, but every once in a while, like I feel like I need that.
I mean, I think that's consistent with it. I think it's just that you have associated a positive meaning with that complete suffering, so that when you hit that, that's actually a good thing for you. And that's why you keep running ultras.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's,
yeah.
All right. Garuda did drive a truck, but only to deliver stuff like food, water, and beer. So.
Well, then it's doesn't fine. Count.
I don't own it, but it does not own a truck or car. Now, also delivered baby formula, toilet paper, and hygiene products. There you go. All right. Mr. Jeffrey just bought an electric car. So there's a, see, if you save money on gas, if you actually do over time and pays for the investment, then you can get people to start making those positive choices.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Moving on. I was worried about us filling the time today, but we're not going to have any problem doing it. It's good. Okay. There's been an investment. This company VFG, or this group VFG, that is headed by Matthew Glover from the January, they said basically they're going to take over the world as vegan brands go. They're going to acquire everything. It's not them. It's not VFG. It's this other group called Veg Capital, which must be associated because he's in it. They've acquired Schicken, S-H-I-C-K-E-N. They make curries and kebabs. It looks like the family who owns it is Indian, I believe. But it's still family owned, and they're in the US. They're in Sprouts Farmers Market. They're in the UK supermarket chain Tesco, and they're also in Iceland, Sweden, France. But apparently, it's just really, really good vegan plant-based chicken, and I just vegan curries and kebabs. That sounds delicious to me. So I'm excited to this. When I next go to Sprouts, which is not very often, I will definitely get some chicken and see how it is.
When you see that word, what do you think of?
Nothing. I think it's chicken. A chicken with an S.
Okay.
Oh, like chicken.
I mean, I saw it and I thought it was S H I T.
Right. Sounds like what Garuda would say plant based chicken is shitkin or something like that.
Yeah. Shitkin.
Yeah. Maybe bad branding there.
Well, I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe I'm the only one.
Yeah. I don't know. I can't unsee it now.
Well, that's great. Right. That sounds fun.
It is. I'm going to get myself some vegan curry soon.
All right. I'm really excited about this next one.
This is funny. Okay. I found this. This is not in my normal sources for the morning report. I was trying to find, or for the weather report, I was trying to find like the main topic of the day. So I went over to Best Life Online and Eat This, Not That, which is where I go. It's a dumpster dive for the Thursday show when there's nothing else to talk about. But apparently this article was there. Aldi, popular discount grocer. We all know Aldi. Aldi's, as Doug probably calls it. They apparently... There was a rumor that went around saying that their bacon was lab grown, that they had somehow gotten this lab grown stuff sped along in the process and gotten pork, I guess, approved when right now only chicken is. And they were selling cultivated meat bacon. And so someone put it on Facebook and they said, where is it? If you shop at Aldi, you need to know that store brand bacon is not from pigs. It's from a growing cell. Appleton Meats is currently a privately funded company exploring multiple cellular agricultural methods for growing ground beef, chicken, and mouse meat cat treats. So that went viral. 27,000 people shared it, and Aldi had to come out and say that no, it is not. None of it is cultivated meat. It's real bacon that they are having there. And the confusion, they think, comes from the fact that Appleton Farms is the name of Aldi's private label store brand. Appleton Meats is a separate actual company, which may not exist anymore, but did, that was doing the cellular agriculture thing.
So they're not even related at all. It's not even like an initiative that Appleton Farms is
no.
You know who's behind this rumor?
Who?
A Trader Joe's employee.
Oh yeah, could be.
No, I don't know, but that would be pretty funny.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, genius. If they caught that and realized Appleton was a common name that they could use for that. Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I wish it was true. I would run out there and grab some, try it.
Yeah. I think this is great. And I'm sure the uproar was just enormous too. Oh,
yeah. I'm sure it was. Which means, I mean, I guess when it actually does come, and it's going to come, there's going to be some serious turmoil over labeling confusion and all that stuff. And companies like if let's say Aldi did have it and it was clearly labeled, I mean, are people going to start boycotting the store because they don't believe that anyone should be selling that stuff? You would think, right? And some places will commit to never having that, like Italy, who said they're just not going to have it at all. It's going to be an interesting schism that happens when that comes around.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
So the world,
and you have to, I mean, like some brands will probably be real proud about it, you know, and display it, you know, this is lab grown meat, eco-friendly, blah, blah, blah. You know, they'll have all their things, and then others will sneak it in, and then the rumors will start flying and you won't really know what you're getting. And
I think it's
going to be interesting.
It will. All right.
Kate says that she saw the chicken. What chicken? Chicken. at Sprouts yesterday and had the same thought. So there you go. I'm not the only one.
The rebrand. I think it's a very good point. Matthew Glover, if you're listening, you gotta change the brand. I mean, it sounds fantastic, but you need your name. Okay. Only thing we have today in terms of a longer form article, Doug, is something that I found first on Best Life Online. Got very excited because it's about Valter Longo, who's one of my favorite longevity guys. He's behind Prolon, the fasting mimicking diet where you do the 5 days of mimicking fasting. You still eat 800 to 1200 calories in a day. You eat all their food and it kind of feels like you're in a fast. I think it's a good program. You definitely lose weight and fat while you're doing it. I don't know if it actually does the claimed benefits after that or the cellular stuff, but apparently it's very good. And I do believe that the research is good and genuine. Anyway, he was featured in this.
After this article, though, an interview that he did with the New York Times, he's on my Shitkin list. That's for sure.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, you have to tell us why in a minute. So they linked to the New York Times article, which I went and clicked and read, and there wasn't a whole lot there of interest. I mean, you get much more out of reading his books. He's got The Longevity Diet is one of his books, which I don't think they even mentioned. Oh, yeah, they did. They mentioned it. That's a good book. I mean, it's about the research for cancer prevention and stuff of this fasting mimicking diet for even like cancer patients and chemo and how it interacts with these things. So like some of the book is just unnecessary to read for most people. But the first half of it, he details his diet, and the diet is eat a vegan diet. He says eat mostly vegan plus a little fish, limiting meals with fish to a maximum of 2 or 3 per week. Consume beans, chickpeas, green peas, and other legumes as your main source of protein. All inspired by his Italian upbringing, but he says most Italians don't eat this way at all, obviously. But he's talking about the original Mediterranean diet. He's taken that, he's added it to his research, whatever he's learned there, and he's come up with this the longevity diet, which is basically those things. And I think you can get away with it without the fish, but I've never really tried to follow, you know, specifically stuff. I just enjoyed reading his stuff, and I think he's in general good, genuine researcher. He's got the 5 P's here, which we'll go down. That's like kind of the only takeaway thing from the article. First, though, Doug, I want to know why you're so upset with him.
Because of these fish? 5 P's, the poisonous P's.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's go ahead and unveil the 5 P's. Do you have them in front of you? Yeah, I got them here. He says, first of all, that he's speaking about what Italian children are eating these days. And he says many of them are battling obesity due to these poisonous 5 P's. And here we go. Pizza. Doug, you like pizza, right?
I love pizza.
Pasta. I like, which he, in a lot of his recipes, he has pasta. So I don't know what he's doing here. I think he says to have small amounts, but he's just saying just use good old pasta. Like most of his recipes that I've seen aren't saying whole wheat or special grains, and it's just pasta. Protein, that's an interesting one to put in the poisonous list, but I'm glad it's there. I mean, I don't know if I'm glad it's there. I think we should question how much protein we eat. It's just not universally good like people think it is.
Do you think he's talking about protein in general, or do you think he's talking about meat? I think he's talking about meat.
But fitting it into the P frame.
And then, fitting it into the P, That's my take.
And he obviously takes some liberties here because potatoes is next, and then pane, an Italian word. He even goes and translates to a new language to fit into the piece. Pane is bread in Italy, and I guess most of the recipes don't have much of that in there, so that's good. I don't know. I mean, those are, when you think of Italian food, pizza, pasta, I don't know, with the protein, maybe not such associated with Italian food. Potatoes and pane, that's a lot of Italian food there. I think I've heard him say 5 glasses of wine a week is kind of the number to shoot for, or less.
Sorry, say that again?
Glasses of wine, red wine per week.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And he's a big olive oil guy, too. None of that's said here, but he wants you to get like 3 tablespoons per day of olive oil to try to get that much.
Yeah, so, I mean, my problem with this is that if you took out pizza, pasta, potatoes, and pane, bread, then that would be most of my diet. The only other thing is tacos and
And burritos, right? And the burritos are wrapped in bread like substance.
I'm sure. They're wrapped in flour tortillas or some sort of tortilla. I don't know. This would be bad news for the Hay House.
Well, he in the New York Times article, and I read this before from him, he talks about his diet when he was younger. He ate the Chicago diet, which I think was a bunch of the deep dish pizza and just a bunch of garbage. And then he went down to school in University of North Texas, and he says that was even worse because it was the Tex-Mex diet. And that's like, that's what you eat, right? Vegan Tex-Mex is like your household diet.
Yeah, but
I would imagine the vegan Tex-Mex is better than regular Tex-Mex. So
yeah,
I think you're right there. Anyway, I thought there was more I wanted to say about Longo.
How many times a week do you eat pasta?
Not much recently, but like probably once. Hmm. I used to do a lot more. I used to probably do 3 to 4.
Hmm.
But really just about once. And partly it's mostly health reasons. Like I just kind of started to think that it's not that healthy, even when I get whole wheat pasta. So it's kind of a special thing now. Except I'll do the bean pasta now and then. And I don't like it as much, but that I feel like doesn't count as pasta.
Okay.
He wants to live to 120 or 130. I remember what it was. I thought it was interesting in the article. He said that he thought perhaps, because apparently Italy, big longevity center. It's not a blue zone. Sardinia is part of Italy, but it's an island off of it. It's different in a way. That's one of like the blue zones. But a lot of Italy has produced a lot of centenarians. And one of these hypotheses he has for why it happened is he thinks it was just this kind of interesting conglomeration of events that there was this, poverty period, I guess post or maybe the war era, rural Italy's abject war era poverty, he says. So they had this old-fashioned Mediterranean diet early in their life, and then also kind of not a lot of food in the early to young adult life, maybe even middle-aged adult life, and then boost of proteins and fats and modern medicine after Italy's post-war economic miracle protected them from frills. So that he's basically saying that they didn't eat so much, especially of protein, when they were younger, and then did later on. So you get a whole lot of people that have this large scale pattern happening to them, and you're bound to produce a bunch of people who also hit the genetic lottery and live a long time. I thought that was an interesting hypothesis, not something that can be really tested or anything, but I liked the idea.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Well, then that is it. That's Longo. Check out his stuff. I think he's good in general. Like I said, I don't know if he's into fasting or I think when he does have a rule, he says, do your eating between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. and don't eat within 3 to 4 hours of bedtime. So he's not, that's just a 12-12 fasting window. So he's still within it's okay. You still get to have breakfast, which we've seen is a concern, with some recent research. Although you showed me today a Peter Attia article, questioning that research. So we might talk about that soon. He likes fasting, but he likes selling his thing, which I think goes to his nonprofit, which just furthers the research funding and all that. He likes this idea.
12 and not 3 hours, is that what you said, before bed?
Yeah, not 3 to 4 hours before bed, I think he said. But I mean, makes sense.
No one's going to bed at midnight. I mean, people are, but that can't be healthy, right? So.
Right, you got to stop eating pretty early then.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah.
Steven points out, going back to the Schinken, is that Schinken is German for ham. So another confusion.
Very confusing. Yeah. I wonder why they call it that. Very odd. Okay. I guess that's it. That's it for the week of Plant-Based Morning Show. Unless you count tomorrow's show. And I will remind you now, everyone, because not everyone's coming yet. But please come to the 1 p.m. Eastern show that we do. Isabel joins us. Sometimes Matt Tolman joins us as well. He was there last week. In fact, he's usually there. He only missed one. And we're a little bit more fitness focused, but still plant-based stuff. And we're doing this format recently, and it's good, and I like it. So we'll keep it up. We're probably going to hit tomorrow on the big fitness gifts list we've been eyeing for a couple weeks, which has some good ones on there, honestly, and some bad ones. But that's what a good gift list is for. Just general gift list, not even any specific holiday, just what to give this year for anything.
Mm-hmm. And if you enjoyed the show, be sure to hit that like button, subscribe. And if you really enjoyed the show, if you really like it and you're watching live, go back to the recorded version, leave a real comment in the main video post, not just the live feed.
Yes, that's a good idea. Everyone comments in the live feed. It'd be nice if you put a comment on the YouTube thing. Nice things, especially, right? Garuda, great example yesterday. Said Matt's a great host. Didn't say anything about Doug. Just Matt, good host. So anything like that is fantastic. But in all seriousness, please give us nice things there. It's full of mean stuff. It's full of carnivore people, and they don't like us. So be good. All right. It probably also helps spread the show. Probably helps the algo.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Thanks everyone for listening. We will talk to you tomorrow.
Yep. See you.